I want to talk about Moses this morning, and I'm really not sure exactly where God wants us to go. But I want you to do some things this morning, some prophetic acts, some prophetic activations as we go through this morning. But I think I want to start off by saying that, as Trish reminded you, we have known Clive and Trish since 2003, 12 years. And not long before they came, I'd stood up on a Sunday morning at the church we were pastoring and said, I don't want to be here today. I don't know why I'm here today. And I was pretty burnt out and running on empty and with really not much else to give, probably nothing else to give. And that was a cry from my heart to my church family, and not one person said, are you okay, John? Not a person. So they didn't hear me. But then we met Lynette's sister, which is another story in itself, and she said, you need to get Trish to come over and speak at your church. And so the process is a bit of a story, but Trish and Clive came over with Lynette and a couple of other ladies, and they ministered in our church, and particularly ministered to us. And we've never been the same again. For me personally, that was the beginning of the beginning. The breakthrough anointing that Trish carries is so powerful. So, so powerful. I want to tell you that as a church family. She has an anointing that is unique, different, powerful, spirit-filled, godly, full of Jesus' love. And she has, I'll say, she has an international breakthrough anointing. She has an international breakthrough anointing. I want to come back to that in a while. I'll say it one more time. She has an international breakthrough anointing. Now, I'm going to apologize, and yet I really don't mean it. I'll say some things that are pretty hard about the opposition to Trish. Because I personally want to see her released into her destiny. You know, we're both 71. Oh, she's not. Well, I'll rephrase that. We're both in our 70s. Is that better, Trish? Clive's 71. And like Pauline said yesterday, when she turned 70, that it's like the new 50. And we feel that way. Like, we might look old, but we don't feel old. Well, most of the time we don't feel old. And so we feel like there's a lot of years left. And in years gone by, when someone reached 70, like, that was it, if they got there. Whereas today, it's very different. And so there's a lot of years left in all of us for what God has called us to in this in these days, these amazing days. And so I want to briefly talk about Moses, and we'll just see where God takes us. So if you turn in your Bibles to Exodus, Exodus chapter 2, and I'm basically going through the whole book of Exodus, just picking out little bits and pieces of Moses' life. But the story is that Moses was born at a time where Pharaoh wanted all the babies, all the baby boys, killed because he didn't want anyone to usurp his position. And he'd heard all sorts of things about a baby that was to be born, a bit like the story of Jesus. And ultimately, to save Moses from being killed, his mother put him in a basket and floated him down the river. And it's a very clever story because she floated him down the river, and he arrived at a certain place, and the princess found him. And Moses' sister was there and said, oh, would you like someone to look after this little baby? Because the princess really liked the look of this little Egyptian boy. And so his actual mother brought him up. His mother brought him up. In the palace. So she was able to instill into him all the Jewish values, all the Hebrew values. Wow. And and he rose to great heights in the palace. He became very famous in the palace. He was like a prince in the palace. He had everything he ever wanted in the palace. Whoops. Don't worry. Everything he ever wanted in the palace. And as he grew up, one day he went out and walked out where all the Israelite slaves were and saw one of the slaves being mistreated by an Egyptian overlord, and he killed him. Thought that was okay. Protected the slave. And then he went out again and he saw two Israelite people fighting, and he tried to break it up. And they said, "Oh, are you going to kill us like you did the guy yesterday?" And he realized that he'd been sprung. And also that Pharaoh's son, I forget, which also knew what he'd done and wanted him killed. So he left. So the prince ultimately became a shepherd. To make a long story short, the prince became a shepherd. So point one is that for those of us who are in ministry or who want to be in ministry, God generally kind of takes us on a journey, very often from greatness to lowliness, so that he might make us great again. But it's in the lowliness, it's in the difficulties, it's in the pain, it's in the loss, it's in the betrayal that we learn whether we really trust God or not. And that makes us strong. That makes us who we are. And so Moses had to flee from Egypt, and he found some ladies who were watering some animals, and he helped them water the animals. And ultimately he met the girl's father and ultimately married this one of the girls. And he recognized that the Israeli people had been in captivity, I think it was for 430 years. So if you think about that, there were, I don't know, how many generations would that be? Five generations, something like that. They wouldn't remember what it was like not to be in slavery. They had been in slavery forever, as far as they were concerned. So as a shepherd one day, he was walking through the fields, and he saw a bush that was burning. And it was strange because it was burning, but it wasn't burning. He could see the flame, but the bush wasn't burning. And as he drew close to the burning bush, something spoke to him out of the bush, which was pretty strange also. So he saw a burning bush, it wasn't burning. And then someone spoke to him out of the burning bush and said, "Take off your shoes, for the ground on which you are standing is holy ground." And I've thought about that. I'm just going to take my shoes off. I've thought about that a lot over the years, and I had no idea what that meant. I had no idea what that meant. But I've just taken off my shoes. So there's nothing between me and the holy ground. There's nothing between me and the holy ground. You know, God said this ground on which you're standing is holy. You know, I'm here in this. Take off that which gets in the way between me and you. You know, your dirty old sandals, take them off. Because I want you to be connected to me. So point two, the Lord is saying to us, take off that which is contaminating our relationship. Take off that which is getting between you and me. Because the ground on which you're standing is really holy ground. And I want you to be holy like me. So he was obedient. And then God spoke to him more and ultimately said, I'm skipping chapters and verses, I've chosen you, Moses, to rescue my people out of slavery. It says, I have heard their cry. I am concerned for them. They are my people. And Moses, I've chosen you to lead them out of captivity into freedom. And it was like Moses said, who, me? Me? I'm only a shepherd. And so Moses said to God, well, if I go to Pharaoh and ask him to release the people, who shall I say sent me? And he said, well, tell him I am has sent you. I am. And I want to say today that I am is in the room. I am is in the room. I am. I am is in the room. When I am is in the room, anything can happen. Anything. He can do anything. So he said, I am. It's sending you. And then he went on to ask another question, and God just said to him, let's forget the question now without looking at it. But God said to him, I will be with you. What did he say? Yeah, no, it's after that. Anyway, God said to him, it was like Moses, but I'm pretty worried about this. And God said to him, I will be with you. I will be with you. And he's saying to us today, point three or four, I will be with you. No matter what you're facing. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I forgot what I was going to say then. Anyway, I will be with you. Whatever you're facing, whatever your situation, wherever you are, I will be with you. I am is in the room. You see, we're never without him. He never walks away. He never walks away. He is always there. In fact, he is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. So what's the kingdom? Thanks, Amy. Just tighten that up a bit. The kingdom is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and all the hosts of heaven is within you. So not only is he within reach, he's within you. He's within reach and he's within you. Isn't that good? Within reach. Thank you, Pauline. And he's within you. So God and Moses had quite a discussion about how this would all happen. Moses, like we would be, was very concerned about the details. Well, you know, what shall I say? Who shall I say sent me? Are you coming with me? What will Pharaoh say? There were just all sorts of questions. And God simply said, well, I'll be with you. He's actually saying that to us all the time. I will be with you. Yeah, but what about I will be with you? But what if I will be with you? But what if they say, I will be with you? Okay. So take that out into this new week, that I will be with you. So then, God said to Moses, what have you got in your hand? Moses was a shepherd. What did he have in his hand? A rod. And that shepherd's rod features right throughout this whole story. Right till he dies, really. The shepherd's rod. So he might have been a prince, but he was actually a shepherd. And you'll see the story as he leads the people to almost the promised land, but not quite there, because he didn't go in himself. But he led them as a shepherd would lead the sheep with the rod. So he said, what have you got in your hand, Moses? And I want to ask you the question this morning. What have you got in your hand? Should see your expressions. What have you got in your hand? Like for Trish, she has a breakthrough anointing in her hand. And over the years, many people have tried to take it off her. Inside and outside, she carries a breakthrough anointing. God gave it to her. And she will have it till the day she dies, many, many years hence. She has a breakthrough anointing in her hand. What's God given you in your hand? What's in your hand? Either you really get it or there's a lot of blank looks. See, it's what you've actually got in your hand is your destiny. You've got that. And most of us, or many of us, have not been able to walk in our destiny for whatever reason. And today, God wants to remind you of what your destiny is. And he wants you to walk in it. Because that's where... Honestly, guys, that's where the fun is. That's where the joy is. That's where the excitement is. That's where the risk is. That's where the faith is, spelled R-I-S-K. Walking in your destiny. So, first act this morning, I would like you to find someone, and I want you to leave Trish and Clive out of this. I want you to find someone and tell them what you see in them. What do you see as the rod in their hand? What do you see as the staff in their hand? What do you see as their destiny? Bring someone an encouraging word. And encourage them. In your hand I see. And it needs to be positive, uplifting, and affirming. Okay. Positive, uplifting, and affirming. Encouraging. Bring someone an encouraging word. It might be as simple as, I love your smile. It can be very simple. It doesn't have to be long. Okay. So, 3 minutes. Go for it. Okay, I have the floor now. Okay, so, whoa. So God gave Moses his instructions, and they were very clear. They were quite simple. You have to get these people out of Egypt. They've been here for 430 years. They have to get out. I've seen their plight. I've heard their cry. I have compassion for them. Now, Moses, it's your role to get them out. Simple instructions. You have to go to Pharaoh and tell him, basically, let my people go. And so then began this great tussle, this tug of war between the purposes and the will of God and the will of Pharaoh, with Moses in the middle, working between God's instructions and Pharaoh's obstructions. Well, that's a good one. God's instructions and Pharaoh's obstructions. And so in life, that's what it's going to be like. God will give you the instruction, and the enemy and people will often become the obstruction. And we have to be sure that God wins, because the power is with him. The power is in the instruction, not in the obstruction. And so that's what Moses went to Pharaoh, and of course you all know the story. Pharaoh said, no, I will not let the people go. There's lots of details in all of this. And so God sent a whole stack of plagues. I didn't know this till recently, but all those plagues, was it ten plagues? All those 10 plagues, all those things were all deities in Egyptian culture. You know, the river Nile was to be worshipped. The animals that he killed were to be worshipped. The frogs were sacred. They couldn't kill them. They had squillions of them. And they weren't allowed to kill them. The flies and the gnats were to be worshipped. And so they were all deities. God knew exactly what he was doing. He was actually hitting their gods. He was causing their gods to be a problem. Their gods. Isn't that interesting? He was causing their gods to be a problem. Their gods were suddenly a nuisance. And each time one of these plagues came, Pharaoh said, yeah, I'll let him go. And then he changed his mind. It says God hardened his heart. Until the very last one, when God said, the firstborn, I'm going to strike down the firstborn. And so that's what happened. And God gave Moses very, very specific instructions. And I love it when you read the story, it says, and you will commemorate this. Basically, you'll commemorate this forever. What did we just have just a few weeks ago? Passover. You know, the Jewish Passover. In the business that I've just sold, the people next door are traditional Jewish people. They keep all the feasts and all the holidays. It's really beautiful people. We absolutely love them. And the other day it was Passover. And they take it very seriously. So the scripture is quite true. You will commemorate the Passover forever. And so God gave Moses these instructions on what to do. He was going to send an angel of death, basically, throughout the area. But if they put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost of their house, the angel of death would pass over, and they would not, the Jewish people would not suffer. So they followed the instructions implicitly. And the angel of death came, and the firstborn, including Pharaoh's firstborn, died. And Pharaoh said, get out of here. And so they left. It says 600,000 men, plus women, children, and all their animals. I would assume that's like about 2 million people and all their animals. That's a lot of people to move in a hurry. And the interesting thing else is way back when Moses first got the instructions, God told him to make sure that the people got all the gold and the silver from their captors. And miraculously, the Egyptians gave the slaves their gold and their silver. So when they left really as very wealthy people with all the gold and silver of Egypt. And amazing. It's very interesting that out there in the story, when Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments, and he took a long time to come back, that the people built a golden calf. What did they build it out of? Where did that gold come from? They almost went back to slavery. You know, we can so easily default. They came out with wealth. They came out with promise. They came out with provision. They came out with power. They came out with purpose. But they defaulted back into their old ways and built an idol, a golden calf that they worshipped. Anyway, that's jumping ahead. So they left. And it's just an amazing story because they left Egypt and they had to go through the desert. And they got to the Red Sea. And they had to cross the Red Sea. So what did God tell Moses to do? What's in your hand, Moses? That rod that's in your hand is so powerful, guys. What's in your hand, Moses? Raise that rod. And as he raised the rod, the seas opened. And the people went through it. They walked on dry land and they went over to dry land. And as you read the story, like 2 million people walking across that. That's not a 5 minute job. I don't know how long it took them. But in the meantime, they began to hear the thunder of hooves and chariots. And again, Pharaoh changed his mind. And so he went after them. I've made a big mistake. I'm going to bring those people back. And so they're walking through the Red Sea on dry land, and they can hear the chariots coming. If ever you saw the old movies, you can see them coming. Thousands of horsemen, amazing chariots, thousands of people. And they're walking through the Red Sea and all these chariots are coming and all the noise is happening. But who's in control? God's in control. And so they get to the other side and God puts a pillar of fire before them and he puts the cloud behind them so that the Egyptians can't see them. And they eventually get through. And Moses raises his rod and the sea closes in. But in the meantime, the chariots had got bogged and the wheels had fallen off and all sorts of things had happened. And the sea closed in on the army of Pharaoh. And they were lost. And the Israelites went through. Not to the promised land. They went through to the wilderness. And so in life, very often we will go from slavery into the desert. And he'll give us a way out, but we'll find ourselves in the wilderness. And our faithfulness in the wilderness will determine when we get to the promised land. And if you look at the story of the guys in the wilderness, they've crossed over, they're in the wilderness now. The first thing they need is water. And what did they do? They complained. And the water was bitter. And God said, look to Moses, just throw that wood into that river or pool or stream or whatever it was, and the bitter waters became sweet. You know, God will always, in the bitterness of our circumstances, God will make a way when we cry out to him. God will make a way to turn bitterness into sweetness. He'll make a way. We just have to ask him. He will make a way to turn bitterness into sweetness. And so they could drink. So the complaining stopped. And they moved on. And then, they got hungry. And they complained again. And they talk about the great food they had in Egypt as a slave. Oh, we had all this amazing meat and all this great food. We ought to just go back there and forget this. Crazy people. Short memories. And so God provided manna, like bread, every morning, 6 days a week. Double on the sixth day so they didn't have to collect on the Sabbath. So they had bread And then he provided quail. I don't like quail, but they had to like it. They had to like it. That was their protein. Bony little birds, it seems to me. Anyway, God provided quail for them to eat. So they had manna and quail. And you know, it says that their clothes and their shoes never wore out. Yeah. When we're walking with him, a whole lot of things don't wear out. He is so resourceful. He's so full of provision. A whole lot of things don't wear out. You know, when you think about it, if you know a person that is always complaining, that is always bitter, that's always against someone, and you can actually see it in their face, they're the people that get sick. You know, they get cancer, they get stomach disease, they get all sorts of things. Because most of our illnesses are to do with our attitudes. So when we walk this out, you know, in effect, if we walk with God in a pure relationship, we won't wear out. We won't wear out. It's like, here's the deal. It's like we were trying to say yesterday, and you know, I got really a fresh revelation of this yesterday as I worked through some stuff in the last 7 days. When you stay in grace, when you step up into grace, the enemies can't get in there. He actually can't get in there. So no matter what's going on around you and what you can see and what you think might come against you, when you step up into grace and stay there, the enemy can't get in there. And even though people might say, I don't agree with you, you've stepped out of line, you've done this or you've done that, when you step into and live in grace, the enemy can't get you. So the children of Israel were walking in God's grace and provision. And even though they complained at every turn, Moses continued to walk in that grace and led the people, and their clothes and their shoes never wore out. Isn't that amazing? Another little lesson. So we've got the manna and the quail, the Ten Commandments. Moses saw God's glory. The golden calf. So we got to the point where they were ready to go to the promised land. And God was very frustrated with the Israelites. They're complaining, they're bickering, their unbelief. And so when it was time to potentially, I won't say enter into the promised land, but actually go towards the promised land, God said to Moses, Moses, it's okay. These are my words. Moses, it's okay. I'm going to send my angel with you. And it sounds like a really good deal, doesn't it? I'm going to send my angel with you. You'll be okay, Moses. I'm sending my angel. And really God was saying, I'm so sick of these people. I could kill a lot of them. I don't want to go with them. But I'll send my angel. And Moses said, no deal, God. Unless you go with me, I'm not going. Unless you go with me, I'm not going. Because if you don't go with me, we will look no different to anyone else. They won't recognize us when we go into enemy territory. They won't recognize us as any different from anyone else. But when you go with us, we're different. When you go with us, we're different. And so for us, when He goes with us, we're different. When you take Him into the supermarket, we're different. We carry the atmosphere of heaven. You know, when you go into the shopping center, we're different. You carry the atmosphere of heaven. We're changers of the atmosphere because of who we carry. Yes, we have angels with us, but He is not only with us, He is in us. And so Moses and God, you know, had this really interesting meeting. And Pauline reminded us yesterday of what God is like when Moses and God were having this debate. And because Moses had thrown down the tablets with the Ten Commandments on and broken them, you know, he had to get some more. And so it says, when Moses asked if he could see God's glory, and God said, "Well, if you do, you'll die. But I'll pass behind you. You'll know I'm around, but you actually won't see the glory because it'll kill you." But then he went on to say, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious Lord, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. That's the God we serve. That's the God who lives within us. That's the God we know. That's the God who's given you what's in your hand. That's the God who's given you your destiny. That's why you can walk with confidence. That's why you're a world changer. It's Him. You have that. It's not that you did have it, or you might get it. You have it. You go like that. I've got it. I have it. You go like this. I have it. It's in your hand. I have it. I have it. I have it. And so God and Moses walked for many, many years. And God gave him all the commands and all the laws. But Moses never entered into the promised land. He never, ever did. He never entered, but the people did. His people entered the promised land. Joshua and Caleb led them into the promised land, the faithful ones. The ones that may have seen the giants, but saw the blessings. They may have seen the problems, but they called out the good things. Because they saw that God was in it all. You remember the old chorus? Some saw the giants straight and tall, or whatever it says. But they saw that God was in it all. You know, and God's looking for men and women like you guys here today that can... Yeah, the giants are there. The problems are there. The issues are there. The difficulties are there. But God is in it all. God's in it all. And He wants to equip, He wants to empower you to walk in that. He wants to. It's not just that He'd like to, He wants to. He wants you to walk like that. He wants you to walk with joy. He wants you to walk in power. He wants you to walk with purpose. He wants to give you the provision. But He wants you to be faithful. Oh, that's the hard bit. So we go through these struggles in life, not because He's punishing us. Not at all. He's not like that. He's just teaching us. We're on a training course. And some of us have got to come from great heights and be brought low so that we can reach the heights that are in His mind, as I said before.